If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Well, there are many options, as you know, Phil. There are many options, and there's the ultimate option, and there are options a lot less than that, and we'll see. We're in a very powerful position. Right now, we're in a very, very powerful position.
You say the ultimate option. Are you talking
about? No, I'm saying the ultimate option, meaning go in war. No, I'm not talking about that ultimate option. No.
Well, that's the president discussing some of the options, or, well, actually, he's talking about the options of options that he has as it relates to Iran being all sassy pants and thinking that they're going to be smarting off. Sometimes a good hand of the, you know, backhand of the mouth is just works just fine. I'm saying, welcome to the show. Now, it's Thursday, but for us, for you, but it's actually my Friday because I will be out tomorrow. I'll talk more why here in a little bit, but I have a million things that we are watching at this particular moment. I have some social justice warrior stuff for you today. Of course, you know I do. And I also have some 2020 stuff also, because Elizabeth Warren is gaining ground. We're going to talk about that and ultimately not just what that means for how Trump is going to have to campaign going out there, because they think you're going to have to modify, obviously, some of the stuff that he's doing at this particular moment. She's campaigning weird, and we're going to talk about that. And then, additionally, we got Canada's Ralph Northam. What in the world? Can we start here, please? Didn't we just come right here? Okay, so I know the Iran stuff is very important because an Iranian foreign minister told one of our news outlets that, oh, well, if the United States strikes us, that means all out war. You have been hitting us via the Houthis for how many years now? You made IEDs that were blowing up our troops. Sit the hell down. Your little theocracy over there. Sit down. Nobody wants to hear you talk. Somebody ground them. Good grief. So this is, I mean, they've been rattling this saber for quite some time. And I thought that it was funny when Trump said that there's some very dastardly things I could do. That's my favorite. And then what was it? Stephen Colbert, I guess, never heard that word before. And so he made Trump front of Trump for like three whole minutes last night on the show. I didn't watch it. I ended up seeing it.
So his usual routine?
Yeah. His usual routine. Yeah. Dastardly is a very fine word. I just will have you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fantastic word.
It's underrated.
Okay. I really want to get to Canada's Ralph Northam, though. I am incessantly fascinated by this guy said that our president was racist.
Yep.
This guy in Canada said our president was racist. Kane, refresh my memory. How many times have photos of Trump in blackface appeared?
Oh, as somebody who's in the news every single day.
Uh-huh. You see this stuff every day.
I mean, there's nothing. I mean, well, there may be tiny bits that get by us, but there's literally nothing.
No, there's like nothing that
gets
by us. Yeah.
That would be zero.
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 Of Trump.
Zero.
In blackface.
Times that he's been pictured in blackface. Well, Justin Trudeau was caught in blackface, and then he was asked about it, and he said, okay, well, maybe like one other time I was, and then there was like a third time that came out. So first let's start with audio soundbite 4. This is when he was first confronted about it with the Canadian press. Listen.
Mr. Trudeau, is that the only time in your life you've ever done something like that?
When I was in high school, I dressed up at a talent show and sang Dale.
Yeah,
with makeup on.
Okay, how do you, as a reporter, not respond to that by going, the hell? How do you not respond to that just like a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot? Now, I hear what you, some of you are saying. I read some of what you all were saying on Facebook in the comments. I read it. Believe me, especially the wonderful lady that posted it 5 different times and worded it slightly differently every time so it wouldn't tell her it was a duplicate comment. I get what you're saying. Everyone was bringing up to me, Billy Crystal on SNL.
Oh, yeah.
Because he did Sammy Davis Jr. So I went back and I looked and he did Sammy Davis Jr., etc. I get it. But what I think, the obvious aside, one of the other biggest things that's insane about this is I go back to what I said before we played this audio soundbite. This cat called our president a racist. Yep. And did you, by the way, Kane, Steve, did you all see the beautiful link I shared with you so generously in Slack?
Yeah, just now I did.
He like dresses up as everything, apparently. Like, here's him in a headdress and here's him. I don't know what that is. And then he didn't just do blackface. He did his hands, too.
Oh, yeah.
He went all out.
He did his hands, ladies and gentlemen. His hands. He didn't just do his face. A man did his hands. That's a little nuts. Just saying. And he wasn't in high school. The first picture that came out, he was 29 years old and a teacher at a high school. A 29-year-old high school teacher who did this.
Maybe that's what he meant by being in high school.
And then there was another time when he was in high school and he was in blackface and then he sang Deo. Okay, now he's a few years older than I am, but we were somewhat around in the 90s, right? A similar time period. I get the Billy Crystal thing. I get what you guys are saying. Billy Crystal was being kind of like a comedian and all of that. And I believe in a cultural exchange. I love cultural exchanges. I hate the idea that if you wear something and because you love it and you think it's amazing, that you are being a racist. I cannot stand that. You remember the thing that erupted? This was like, oh, golly. I can't believe I just remembered it. It was like 4 years ago. And it was a museum quality kimono. And at the museum, they were allowing people to just slip it on and get a photo with it as a part of Chinese heritage celebration, etc. And it was a beautiful kimono. It was gorgeous. And they were attacked by social justice warriors for allowing people to do this. Well, then a bunch of Chinese Americans spoke out and they said, no, excuse us. No. Or sorry. Well, it was Japanese Americans. Sorry. With kimono. Japanese Americans. A bunch of Japanese Americans. And there was also and the reason I remember Chinese was because, I'm going to pull the story up. I'm going to find it. Because there was a professor of Chinese studies that was in working in conjunction with the museum. And that and he was the one who had spoken out, and I can't remember what it was. He was the one who spoke out about it the most. And he was saying, it infuriates me when people are attacking this and they're not celebrating the cultural exchange and the heritage. So they were going over, it was Japanese heritage. It was like this, it was a museum exhibition, and they had different weaponry for that particular time period. They had this. And it was actually a very well-preserved kimono. And people were going in and they were looking at all of the stuff. They were learning, trying it on. It was very interactive. Well, all the social justice warriors got upset and they decided to protest. And the museum stopped that. And a lot of people were speaking out about it. And there were a lot of Japanese Americans speaking out about it. A lot of Chinese Americans, like I told you, the professor was speaking out about it. And they were saying that this is so unbelievably insulting that you, and it's a bunch of white people saying it, that you are somehow accusing all of these people of appropriation when it's celebration. Now, there is a difference. I don't know if what Justin Trudeau was doing could be described as that. You know what I mean? I get it. Everyone's offended by everything. We have this massive cancel culture. But the guy was in blackface singing Deo on stage. Guys, come on. For real. Really? Is there anyone out there who's going to sit there and act like that? Seriously? I'm just saying, right? Kane, because you know what I'm saying.
I mean, was it for theater? Or was it something where he was just being up, you know, acting?
Does it matter?
Well, to them it doesn't. To the left it doesn't. And clearly over the last, decade,
I don't think that you can. I don't. Yeah, but this isn't making a mountain out of a molehill. First off, I think people are actually, it's the hypocrisy, because this guy has painted himself as this social justice warrior. He hates our president. He said it over. He's said that they're he's racist. He's alluded to anybody who voted for Trump as being a racist.
This is their rules.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So there's just no way. And then the picture where he's dressed, what the heck was he dressed up as? I don't even know what he's dressed up as. It was just, it was not great. Okay. I understand cultural exchange and celebration. Like the little girl who thought that the princess from The Princess and the Frog was the most beautiful princess of all Disney's princesses. And so she asked her mom, she basically asked her mom, put her in blackface because she thought she was, every inch of her was beautiful. And she wanted to be that. That, I'm sorry, people freaked out about it. And that was stupid. The little girl was celebrating the beauty of a black princess, and her with her, you know, pale skin and blonde hair, she couldn't do it. She wanted to fully be, and it was a costume. It was like Halloween last year, the year before, and everybody got mad at her. But this seems ridiculous because he's like purposely trying to act like a caricature. But that's not even the big thing. Look, it's the hypocrisy that I'm most offended by. And secondly, this is like the second biggest scandal for him. Now, remember, he got into a lot of trouble because he was discovered to have been pressuring the attorney general to go easy on this big time engineering company over there because they had associations with Trudeau, right? And then all of that came out and it was a big scandal. They have elections next month. Now, I don't know how this is going to impact, because Canada is even more social justice warrior-y than we are. I don't know how this is going to affect them. And then I had some people telling me, oh, well, people don't understand, you know, in Canada, people in Canada are so far removed and you know, they are just so perfect and they don't understand any of that, you know, all of this, the racism and everything that the United States has struggled with. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but you guys have a huge history of Aboriginal racism, so you can shut up and take a million damn seats. Don't sit here and try to whitewash the problems in your all's culture, and y'all still have it. So don't sit here. You want to talk about some of the second class treatment of first people. So don't. Anyway, moving on. This scandal could actually affect him in the polls. It could. I don't know how much it will, because Democrats are somehow, I don't know, they're, oh my gosh, I keep seeing pictures of this. They're so ridiculous. God, I see a new picture every time. Every time I look at the internet, I see
it's
a brand new picture.
It's only happened three times, Dana.
It is, I don't believe it. So the Canadian Ralph Northam up there, Democrats somehow, progressives don't care. They claim to act like they're big, such big, you know, so concerned about racism. But then you had the white woman who's going to be probably the leading Democrat candidate, who pretended to be an Indian for 20 years. And then you have Ralph Northam. Last I checked, he's still governor of Virginia. He is in blackface so many times. They called him, and this was the name they used, Coon Man.
Yep.
So, just saying.
I think that's the definition.
Oh, and then don't
standard.
Forget, Bill Clinton, when he was running for president, he was discovered to have been golfing regularly at a whites-only golf club, because those existed in the 90s somehow. So, just going to lay that out there on the table for y'all. Okay. All right, so we got that. We have more things to get into. Woke scolds are sad that the most awesome playwright in America is a conservative. We're going to get into that. The Storm Area 51 thing is tomorrow. So,
oh, man.
I forgot that it was coming up on us. So we got to talk about this. We got to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Pete Buttigieg breaks his silence about the abortion doctor in South Bend, and then also apparently he's mad at LGBTQ media. We're going to touch that. We also have some 2020 stuff. Trump sues to block tax info reveal. Chuck Schumer and Beto face off. We got a bunch of stuff to get into, so you don't want to miss any of it. As we get moving on, Super Beats soft chews. I already had mine today. I took them as kind of like a part of a pre-workout. Sometimes I take them after, and I'm trying to figure out when it's most beneficial. These ladies, these are y'all's mommy's Chardonnay chews in the afternoon. Okay, so like when you put the kids down, you all go get yourself some Chardonnay chews. Or you can, you know, take it before you go to the gym or after. It gives you all the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two convenient soft chews. Look, if y'all were struggling with the drink, which actually tasted just fine, and I hate beets more than you could ever imagine. All of you put together could never hate beets as much as I do. if you struggle with the drink, the soft chews were made for you. They completely, literally made them with you in mind. It has a breakthrough ingredient, new one, grapeseed extract. It supports normal blood pressure, circulation, natural energy in your body. They use a highly concentrated premium grapes seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. These are some fancy grapes, right? And it's been clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure. So boost your heart health easily on the go too with Super Beats Soft Chews. Get them today at danasbeats.com or 800-664-5617. When you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You would too if it wasn't for us amazing people. The Federal Reserve, they cut interest rates, I don't know why I'm talking like that, by another quarter of a percentage point, and they hint at more to come as Trump blasts the chairman, Jay Powell, for a modest no-guts move. It was 0.25%, far less than what Trump wanted. So it cut the benchmark overnight lending rate to a range of 1.75% to 2% on a 7-3 vote. So Trump says, no guts, no sense, no vision. He said the moves were too modest. Yeah, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. People can get mad, but he's not wrong. Let's see. Facebook is in D.C. beginning today for meetings in which they're talking to members of Congress about, well, everything that everybody's been discussing, monopolies, etc. One of the other weird things, though, is that it was noted that not all of the tech companies signed that anti-gun letter that Twitter and everyone else did, and they sent up to Washington, D.C. According to the New York Times, apparently Facebook and Google declined to sign it. And it was, they said that they just, with Facebook, it was more of an issue if they didn't want to make lawmakers mad. So I think that was maybe the reason why they actually didn't do it. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is fighting once again to this time block yet another company from opening up in her Queens district. She's fighting to block the massive Walmart of Liquor, is what it's called, from opening in College Point, Queens. She scared Amazon away. The New York Post says that she's been urging the Liquor Authority Chairman Vincent Bradley to deny Total Wine & More a license to open because its rock-bottom prices would undercut smaller neighborhood liquor merchants. But what about the jobs that it creates, and what about the tax revenue that it brings in? So it actually would, oh my gosh, there you go. What does she think socialism's going to do if ever she were to get a chance at that? Oh, and Trump said he had plenty of time to do some dastardly things to Iran, but he's ruling out for now the ultimate option of a strike. We got a lot more. Stay with us.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
My name is Greta Thunberg. I have not come to offer any prepared remarks at this hearing. I'm instead attaching my testimony. It is the IPCC Special Report on Global Warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius, the SR 1.5, which was released on October 8th, 2018.
I reject Celsius.
I am submitting this report
as
my testimony because I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the scientists.
Bye. We're done here. Okay, can we stop here?
And I want to.
That's that Greta Thunberg Thunberg. This is totally, it's Greta Thunberg. But I don't know how she said her name the way she did. Cute little girl. I don't know
my
why
name
we're,
is Greta Thunberg.
I don't know why we're listening to someone who is not a citizen of the United States lobby our Congress about something that does not have scientific consensus, number one. Number two, why don't we just bring the scientists in instead of you?
Exactly.
Doesn't that kind of make sense? I think we should listen to the scientists. Okay, well, where are they? Where are they at? Are they in here? Scientists, are you here? Come on up. It's like The Price is Right. Come on down. Woo. Good heavens. You know what? I think if they treated more of these hearings that way, I'd watch more.
You know what? That's right.
Let's be real. Like, I appreciate hockey, but I get real into it when they fight. I mean, I get they're talking about stuff that we deal with our hearings. And yes, we all have to be interested in what is happening in our government. We have a duty. You would rather have too much freedom and too many boring hearings than none. So keep that in perspective. But also, if they did it like Price is Right, it would be kind of fun. Come on down. You know what? I've always wanted to be on that show.
Me too.
I can guess the price of something like that. That's my superpower.
Wait, do you still to this day want to be on that show?
Yes, I do.
Seriously.
I would totally be on that show.
Because I lost that desire a couple years ago.
No, I would totally be on that show.
I remember really wanting to be on that show.
Oh my gosh, I'd so be on it. I would be so excited.
I remember thinking that I was good at the...
I would literally wear a sweater that had Bob Barker's face on it.
Right, but at the price, the pricing of the big showcases at the end, I was actually really good at that.
Y'all, I can guess. It's like my superpower. Understanding firearm law and, you know, just doing radio.
Right.
But really guessing the price of stuff. I love the music, too. It's like classic game show music. The shiny white floors, the tiny little microphone, him telling us to spay or neuter our pets. It's amazing.
Do you imagine a model showing off a Kel-Tec weapon and having to guess the price of it? I think
Gosh, I'd be so right. Oh man, I would win the crap out of this show. I would win the crap out of it. I can totally guess the price of stuff. If you're like, guess the price of this, whatever, and I'd be totally right
this
on the
barrel
money.
Of 100,000 rounds.
Oh, it'd be so great. But I would want the board, because they had, the little things that they go up, they have different colors. I've always wanted the orange one.
Plinko is my favorite.
Oh, man, I love Plinko. Plinko was so great. The big giant wheel.
Oh,
my word. I was always, again, can I just say something about the floors? They look so clean, like you could eat a sandwich off it.
Yeah.
It's just classic. And the way he held his dainty little mic.
That was a classic mic.
It was.
That was a classic microphone.
That show was great. Anyway, long story short, maybe if you get Bob Barker up in there, this little mic, you know, it'd be a little bit more interesting. I don't have any problem with kids getting involved in stuff. This is what I want to caution people about. And this is why y'all don't see my kids out there, even though my kids would rip some people to shreds because they are amazing. I mean, my son's going into law, for crying out loud. He wants to go into constitutional law. He was actually looking at being a patent attorney, but then he started thinking about some other stuff. So, because he loves engineering, he's looking at going into engineering, and then he's getting his law degree. But my youngest wants to program all the robots and take over the world. So he's all about software programming, all of that stuff. He's like made for the upcoming robot revolution. But anyway, they're really well versed in this stuff because they were raised in it. Everyone thinks that I sit my kids in front of the television and they watch Fox News and I give them Republican Party pamphlets, but that's not how it works, you know? And I've always encouraged them to question everything, right? And develop your own ideas. Even if I think you're wrong, I respect the fact that you have your opinion and I want you to argue it. And so our dinner table conversations have always been just fantabulous. And I always told them, too, I said, look, when you guys actually get out there and into politics, don't just think that it's going to be easy for you because of what I do or something like that. You know, when you whatever age you are and you decide that you want to be part of that national public conversation, there's some things you got to realize. First off, if you want fairness, don't expect to get treated with kid gloves. If you're going to be part of the national conversation, you're part of the national conversation and all that comes with it, good and bad. And if you're not ready for that, then you're not ready to do it. It's unfortunate that political discourse is like this, but I would also counter that political discourse has always been like this. And I would also counter that children have not always been part of it. The second thing is that if you're going to, I think the younger you are and the more politically vocal you are, the more incumbent it is upon you to not argue from emotion. The more incumbent it is upon you to argue from a position of fact, because you have a lot more to prove. People are automatically not going to want to listen to you. So going out there and being emotional about it, that's not the way to do it. And there are far too many people who have made that mistake. I see people out there now, and part of it is because I think both the right and the left likes to use kids as human shields so that they don't have to talk about their political arguments. They think if they put kids up there to talk about them, then you can't criticize the kids, because then they will allege that you hate children and that you are mean. Look how meanly you're treating this kid. But they're the ones who are putting the kids up there and whispering in their ear what to say on the mic. Meanwhile, the right likes to rush to, you know, to youth and to the kids and act like, oh my gosh, this is a child prodigy in Republicanism. Who's that little Jonathan kid that was out there? I don't even remember what his name was. The first CPAC I went to, they had this kid speaking, and I thought, the hell? Like, this is corny. I don't care how it sounds. I mean, do you pay taxes? If not, shut up. I mean, this is kind of how I look at it. You know, why am I going to, it's like being lectured to by a couple about marriage that hasn't even been married for a year. You see what I'm saying? Shut up. Live a little. You know, it's like seeing an 18-year-old write a memoir. Shut up. Live a little first. You know, come on. And I look at it the same way. And I always criticize Republicans and conservatives for doing that stuff. I'm like, and then when the person says something stupid, Republicans and conservatives are like, oh, that was bad. Well, what did you expect? You ran out there and put a teenager up. I mean, geez, good grief. So that's the right and the left both do it, but they use them in different ways. And that's what the left is doing with this little girl. They're sticking her up there so she can say all this stuff about climate change. And if anyone says anything to counter her, they're like, you're so mean, picking on a little girl. You're so mean, getting kids to fight your fight. Man up, woman up, step up. It's just, it's kooky. But it's just like, it's totally fine for kids to be in it. But I don't think it's fine for a national discussion, because I think adults are mean and I don't think kids are emotionally ready for it. It's more so to protect the kids, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, than anything else, because kids, adults are jerks. I'm here to tell you, they're jerks. You know how Cain always says that old people aren't innocent? Well, you know why? You know how they get that way, right? They're jackwagons as adults. So you got
not all old people are innocent. That's what I say.
I'm pretty sure you specified every elderly person.
I don't think that's how it
goes. Are you sure? Okay. Yeah. Sure. There's some really sweet elderly people out there. Are. Oh, what? See? Look at that. You go, there are?
There are sweet
You
ones.
Said that like
Just
it was a question.
Not all of them are innocent and sweet.
I didn't know what he ever said that. No one.
What?
And then Cain. Not all elderly people are innocent.
What? It's true.
Anyway.
How many times have I been proven correct?
But I do get the idea that kids being part of the conversation, again, I think it's dangerous because they're not emotionally ready for it. And there have been, I've seen people disagree with this little girl, and then I've seen people be mean about it. That's just not cool. But still, what in the world is someone who is not even a citizen of this country doing lobbying our Congress to pressure them into policy about something that on which there's not even scientific consensus? I mean, didn't we put Paul Manafort in jail, by the way, for lobbying on behalf of a foreign entity? I'm just asking a question. It's a stunt, and it's a stunt that, like when the adults went to Dianne Feinstein, this is the only time I'm ever defending this woman. Only these people could get me to do it. And they sent all these kids into the office to talk to her about climate change. And it was very clear that they had coached her, that they had coached these kids. And these kids go in there and she's just like, I don't care, you're kids. And everyone thought Dianne Feinstein was so mean because she had reminded everyone, yeah, I've been doing this longer than your parents were alive. And they thought she was so mean. That's not mean. You're naive to think that no one can see through what you're doing. You do not want to fight the fight because you can't argue. So you send kids out in your place. You're like the political ISIS. Stop it. Just debate better. Oh, they're going to get all mad. But it's the point is I just think it's abusive to kids to do that because kids are not emotionally ready for the jerks in politics. Oh, play it. What are you playing?
Dianne Feinstein with the kids.
Oh, do it because they got so mad at her.
because there's no way to pay for it.
Yes, there is.
Well, that's we have tons of money going to the military. A lot of it is going to the military.
But we have come to a point where our Earth is dying, literally. It is going to be a pricey and ambitious plan that is needed to deal with the magnitude of that issue.
You think the Earth that's 4 billion years old,
the Earth is literally dying. And what is your evidence? Al Gore said the polar bears were all going to be dead now, and we have 10 years to live. We're all dying.
Have said that we have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years. Listen, what we can do,
Senator, if this doesn't get turned around in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people who are going to be living with these consequences.
The government is supposed to be for the people and by the people and all
for the people. You know what's interesting about this group is I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that. I've gotten elected. I just ran.
These parents were standing behind these kids going, Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot. And the kids were looking at their mom like, we think she just told us to shut up. What, Mom? Dad?
They thought the Democrat would just play to the kids' desires.
Yeah.
She didn't.
No, she didn't. To her credit, which is something I never thought I would ever say. But that was hysterical. I mean, I watched that. I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. But these parents that are sticking these kids in here, you know, first off, coaching kids to repeat stuff. You're not raising original thinkers. You're all the people who are like, oh, you're in your parenting. You know what? My kids can actually articulate a viewpoint. They don't need me to tell them nothing about it. When my kid was on the debate team and he was going into debates, he literally was debating on gun control. And I was like, good luck. Do the family proud. I'm not giving you nothing. You got to come up the hard way. I'm not writing your points out for you. I'm not researching a damn thing. You have the internet. If you can sit here and code, make all these skins for your games, and you can do all of this stuff in Minecraft and code whole new worlds, then you can probably find some statistics on the BJS.gov website. Pretty sure you can pull out the National Crime Information Center and look some things up, or the Uniform Crime Reports. And my son was like, well, where should I go? And I go, the internet? I'm not helping, because I want to raise original thinkers. We have too many sheep. We need more shepherds, but like of the good kind, not wolves that are wearing a shepherd costume. Actually, they would be in the sheep costume though, right? But if it's the far side, they're in the shepherd costume. So anyway, we got a lot more coming up, and second hour on the way. I have my Raycon earbuds in. Oh my gosh. It was all shoulders today. I did a brutal. I was doing upper body. Had my Raycon E50s. I just charged them again last night. They're so comfortable, and they just fit like a glove in my ear, because so many of these other wireless earbuds, they're just so pretentious, and they're annoying. And some of them have got to put that giant logo on there. Heaven forbid you be discreet with your earbud. I just can't stand that stuff. To me, it seems nouveau riche. I'll be real about it. It has this nouveau riche aesthetic. If you're getting premium wireless earbuds, you want premium wireless earbuds for comfort. But I mean, most of all, you want to be able to hear things in them, right? You want them to sound great. You want the quality to be good. You don't want it to be diminished just because it's playing through an earbud. You want it to sound as close as it could be if it's going through, you know, a large speaker. And this is what Raycon's wireless earbuds do. I think they've changed the game. They're incredibly comfortable. These are premium wireless earbuds, but guess what? They're half the price of the pretend premium wireless earbuds out there, because they're not going to sit here and overcharge you just for slapping a logo on something. They're stylish. They come in different colors. They have different also kinds of wireless earbuds. They have some that are waterproof. I have the E50s, the Raycon E50s. But they come in a range of fun colors. They also have gel pads that you can snap on those earbuds to get a custom fit. It also provides an extra layer of noise cancellation, which is amazing on the airplane, I just want to add. Visit buyraycon.com/Dana, and you can get 15% off the already very affordable price of these premium wireless earbuds from Raycon. That's buyraycon.com/Dana.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
So I don't know if you guys are aware. I love the song with the burning passion of a thousand suns. which you can't hear on the podcast. Anyway, the lengths that the media have gone to not say Justin Trudeau was in blackface. Do you know Twitter took to actually restricting photos of him appearing? So, and I looked at like five or six different accounts. Everybody was talking about this last night. He, especially the one where he's like in the white turban with the feather thing and his hands are also black. That one, when you would see it on Twitter, it was coming up as it just like the gray bar, like, you know, this item's unviewable or something like that. I forget how they word it. When you would click on the tweet, it was the same thing. You actually had to really click on it to isolate the tweet by itself where the image came up. They have it actually restricted. So, and there other people were saying that they were getting their accounts suspended. So there has been an insane amount of media that refused to actually say he was in blackface. They've been trying so hard to say a million other things besides blackface. And Twitchy had a roundup. The Daily Beast said, third instance of Justin Trudeau in face darkening makeup surfaces. Face darkening? You mean like blackface? Someone else said brown face. It's like, nope. Face darkening. I'm waiting for like melatoninly gifted. Like it's what in the world, face darkening? And there were a couple of media outlets that actually used that. I'm waiting for someone to say, oh, he's over bronzed or something like that. He just went to Ulta, or he went to Sephora and got some Tarte bronze. That's what he did. He's got some Raven, Tarte bronzer.
Just Raven-hued.
Raven-hued. Yeah. He's just overly bronzed. No, it's called blackface. That's what it was. It's called blackface. I love what the Babylon Bee did. They said that Elizabeth Warren admits to wearing paleface, which I thought was so brilliant. How much do you want to bet, by the way, that Snopes is going to fact check it? Yeah,
they totally will.
One of our listeners said Twitter suspended them for mocking Trudeau's people kind comment. By the way, I hope everyone knows that Florida man, when we say Florida person, we've been mocking Justin Trudeau for about a year now.
That's true.
Because he kept saying you can't say mankind, you have to say person kind. You have to say this. You have to, you know, so that's why we changed that.
Today might be the last one we do, too. So we're changing.
I know, because things are changing up. There's a lot of new stuff on the horizon coming up. We got a bunch of stuff ahead. Area 51 apparently is tomorrow. Oh, by the way, I have another reason why you're not taking my guns. Stay with us. As conservatives, we stand together to fight for our freedoms. And while we have far more members at Patriot Mobile than a Joe Biden campaign rally, we need you to join us today to support your values. Patriot Mobile provides reliable nationwide cell phone coverage. Keep your phone number, bring your own phone, or buy a new one. For a limited time, you can buy a Moto Z3 Play for only $10 a month and get one free when you activate two new lines of service. This is not fake news. You can buy a Moto Z3 Play and get one free. This feature-rich phone has a large screen, high-quality camera, extended battery life, and an expandable storage option. With unlimited plans starting as low as $25 a month, don't wait. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based team at 877-367-7524. You'll love speaking with patriots that passionately believe in freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and the sanctity of life. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their team at 877-367-7524.
I'm standing here today because of one person, Steve Scalise. If Steve Scalise had not shown up for our last baseball practice with his two armed law enforcement officers, I would not be standing here talking to you today. In a sense, Steve took a bullet for me and all the others that were on the baseball field on June the 12th, 2017. Now, Steve was at second base. I was at home plate. When the shooting started, I was able to make myself to get outside of the field where I found one other of our staff members had been shot in the back and a bullet came out his chest. I spent the rest of the 8 minutes of that shooting trying to get to him to help save his life. But as I was pinned down behind that SUV, I never once thought, wait till I get to Capitol Hill, I'm going to pass a law. You know why? Because the gentleman, let me rephrase that, the radicalized, crazed madman who was shooting that gun was already violating dozens of state and federal laws. There is not a single law that we would have passed that would have made a difference to him. A couple of months after that, someone tried to assassinate me and my wife as we were driving up a highway in Georgia. Again, I never once thought, wait till I go back to Washington, I'm going to pass a law. When I was pinned down on the baseball field, the thought that kept coming through my mind is, where are the good guys with the guns? If this would have happened in Georgia, it would have not lasted that long, because I would have had access to a weapon, my chief of staff would have had an access to a weapon, and I can promise you that this, that that shooter would not have gotten off the number of rounds that he got off.
There you go. That is absolutely right. Amen. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and I've got a lot of stuff up there for you as well, including some of the audio from our interview with Ted Cruz yesterday. That was Congressman, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, who was giving a press conference yesterday because Congress was, they were holding, it wasn't the judiciary, was it judiciary? Maybe it was one of their committees. They were holding a hearing trying to get Mitch McConnell to take up gun legislation because they passed some things through out of committee to the floor, and they want to be able to debate about this on the floor of the House as well. So here's the thing. Then today, because they've been having these ongoing, it is the judiciary, the House Judiciary Committee. They've been having these hearings on it. Guess who they asked to come and testify today about police practices? Give you one guess. His name rhymes with Marpton.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Al Tawana Brawley Sharpton. Al Freddy's Fashion Mart Sharpton was able to go up there. He's as much of a reverend as I am a doctor.
Lending some expertise?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody made a mistake or he got lost after talking about Cookie Roberts and identifying her as Christiane Amanpour. Anyway, yeah, that's kind of crazy. But that's what was happening yesterday. That's how they were rolling. Oh my gosh. Yeah, they invited a racist liar to go and testify. Now, one of the other things that was interesting, because Twitter CEO was one of those companies that had sent letters to Congress saying, you need to take people's guns because we don't know anything about guns. Brr, brr, brr. And after they sent a letter to Congress calling for gun confiscation, they had suspended the Second Amendment Foundation's Twitter account right on the eve of their big annual event. And the Second Amendment Foundation has never... They're a pretty straight no chaser. For someone to report them for something is kind of kooky, because, I mean, they're pretty vanilla wafer, right? I mean, they're extremely vanilla wafer. And they were having this conference in Phoenix, and they had a lot of people coming out to it. And they were putting it on for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and all this stuff. And then Twitter decides, for whatever reason, they had suspended it, which is kind of weird. And they didn't really give any explanation as to why. But you know, it is what it is. I worry too, especially as all of this stuff with these gun bills moves in Congress. I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to affect, because we've seen on YouTube a number of videos about firearms, whether it's testing firearms or reviewing them or whatever, even for manufacturers. Their channels were either entirely shut down or they were demonetized, right? So they suspended the Second Amendment Foundation's. They sent and Alan Gottlieb, who founded it, he had no idea why. But it is interesting that it happened before, literally right before their annual event, which I think is significant. But if it's not, you know, a quasi Operation Choke Point, they're trying to revive that. You had a number of Democrat lawmakers pressuring banks to not what was it, Beto O'Rourke was telling financial entities, you know, maybe don't give loans to businesses that deal with firearms, or, you know, trying to also instruct financial institutions how to boss people around when it comes to spending their own money. So it's going to get worse. I just feel like it's going to get worse because it keeps consistently getting more and more. There's more and more pressure, but I don't think their account's been restored as of yet, but it was absolutely suspended. So, all right. One of the other things that we are looking at is, first off, the story about that comedian that had been kicked off of SNL.
Shane Gillis.
Yeah, Shane Gillis. This comedian that had been kicked off of SNL. It was pretty offensive to see the excuse that was given by Lorne Michaels. Because he had said, because of Shane Gillis, they kicked him off because they said throughout a comedy routine, he had said slurs. He was making jokes about Asian people, and he said the F word for gay, right? Well, then SNL's Lorne Michaels says, well, you know, we hired him to appeal to conservative viewers. Isn't he such a shiny, happy person? So that's what it's not over. That came from Variety. Joe Otterson and Michael Schneider said that Lorne Michaels cast Gillis in an attempt to appeal to conservative viewers because people condemn the show for its liberal bias. And so he's trying to save it. Nice spin, but no.
Right.
Totally not. I don't even think that guy is a conservative. I just think he's very politically incorrect. And that doesn't, not every conservative is like that. But that's, shut up, people, shut up. It's always the left that does this stuff. Y'all are the ones that walk around in blackface while you excuse it and try to make up words to describe blackface that doesn't use the words black and or face. So, goodness. Gillis has only offered, they said, a half-baked apology. He says, I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries. I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said. So they weren't happy with his apology. Oh, whoa. And?
Right.
Tough. Guess what? You offend me. Apologize. So stupid. But they said that the sources told Variety that the vetting process for Gillis was severely lacking. Remember, the stuff that has aired on SNL before. It's just that they're virtue signaling, and then they want to blame it on conservatism. I haven't watched SNL in forever. I haven't watched it in years. It has been years, years, years since I've watched it. So Arizona Democrats are moving to censure Kyrsten Sinema because she's too bipartisan. From the Hill, the Arizona Democratic Party is planning to hold a vote this week to determine whether or not Senator Kyrsten Sinema should be censured. The censure vote, according to the Arizona Republic, is due to the fact that progressives in the state Democratic Party see her as too accommodating to Republicans. I know, right?
But Trump divides.
Yeah, Trump is so divisive. But how dare you be bipartisan? You're getting punished, you bad person. So they're pointing to her vote to confirm David Bernhardt, Trump's nominee to serve as Secretary of the Interior, and her vote to confirm William Barr as AG. So they're mad at her because she voted to confirm these two people, and they want to punish her. Even though 538 found that Sinema has opposed Trump 81% of the time since she's been in the Senate. But apparently they won 181% of the time opposition.
Also, they have to be like the Borg. Like, Democrats cannot allow anybody with a D by their name to think for themselves in any way.
This is what's happening. I mean, they're running everybody out of this party.
Yeah.
They're running everyone out. I mean, there's nobody who wants to stay in this party anymore because, heck, you can't even be pro-life and be a Democrat anymore.
Right.
They made it very clear a couple of years ago that you are not allowed in that party. You cannot be pro-life and be a Democrat. And they said, not going to have it. So, yeah, they're not doing too well. Coming up, we got some 2020 stuff as well. Warren's base is broadening. Meanwhile, Mayor Pete is mad at LGBT media Chuck Schumer says while he doesn't know any Democrat who agrees with Beto O'Rourke on guns, well, they're not going to condemn him. And remember, they praised him on stage at the Houston debate. They all stood up on that stage and they praised him after he was like, I'm going to get your guns, or dirt, dirt. Also, Area 51, that thing is tomorrow. And we were talking about the Navy saying, yeah, those UFO videos are real. We have to have, y'all people ain't taking my guns if there's aliens out there. This is not happening. So psh, go away. Not going to work. Not going to do it. I'm going to take my Kel-Tec. I'm going to take my KSG.
Yeah.
If I see me some aliens trying to, what was that movie with Mel Gibson? And that one Culkin brother?
Mad Max?
No, not that one. Signs. If any of those aliens try to signs my house,
oh, gotcha.
I will pump you full of buckshot. Just not even be like Dave Chappelle. Buckshot! That's how it's going to be. Oh, my gosh. Actually, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my Kel-Tec KS7. I'm going to have my KS7, and because that holds a lot more than an ordinary shotgun. You have a single tube magazine that holds 6 3-inch shells plus one in the chamber, and if you want 2 3/4-inch shells, KS7 holds 7 plus 1, which is a lot better, right? It's and it has that downward shell ejection, so if you're, you know, blasting zombies that are trying to signs your house, the ejected shells are free of your line of sight and away from your face and body. It's 18.5-inch barrel, 26.1 inches overall length, easy to handle in confined spaces or rugged terrain, doesn't matter. And it's actually truly totally ambidextrous. Pump release is right there, located in front of the trigger guard, so you got quick, easy release, cross-bolt safety as well. Ergonomics are fantabulous. They're so amazing. It's just a cool gun. I mean, take it to the range, have lots of fun. It's a great home defense weapon, too. Check out everything Kel-Tec has to offer. K-E-L-T-E-C, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Got to play some air guitar on this. We were joking about Steve Cohen's skullet. He's a lawmaker. And I was like,
I don't think he'd come out and open the segment like that.
You're playing Thunderstruck. How can I not? I'm like, dude, Thunder Skullet. I would like have that as my, you know, the little plastic, those little things that they got with their names on them. I'd be like, Congressman Thunder Skullet.
Are those the pop ones? Those pop things? Those little pop dolls?
What? No, the nameplates that are right there.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant those. Those
where did you
dolls,
come from?
Those pop dolls.
I don't even know what that is.
What? I'll show you.
No, I don't even know. Golly. Yeah, Thunder Skullet. That's like a great, like if you could Southern Fry AC/DC, that would be a great. But they have, what is it, Hazy Dixie that does AC/DC covers? Oh, man, that's good. All kinds of good stuff. Coming up. Oh, I just saw a headline that I can't say on air.
Wait a minute.
Let's start the
intro.
During that link.
Go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I can't read that one, but you're welcome to, Kane.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go to the next one.
Well, it is news.
Okay, so.
Technically, and I still don't understand why you can't say this word.
This is the headline from the New York Post, and I just lost it. With the picture, too. Because we had this conversation yesterday about politically correct ways, because someone even told me little person was bad, and I'm like, I don't know how to say anything. So I'm just going to read you the headline. I did not make this word up. It says, porn star Bridget the Midget arrested for stabbing boyfriend.
Oh, Lord.
So that does not look like she's had a good time.
Yeah.
And her name's Bridget Powers, and she was quarreling with her boyfriend Wednesday, and apparently cops were called, according to TMZ. And when police arrived, they discovered her boyfriend with a stab wound. He had non-life-threatening injuries.
Were the wounds near the thigh?
She was
charged.
That is Kane who said that. She was charged with domestic battery and use of a deadly weapon, burglary while in possession of a deadly weapon, and assault with a deadly weapon. Lots of things with deadly weapons. Just saw that headline, and I could not get away from it. All right, so moving on. And that's possible. Netanyahu is seeking a unity government with his opposition. Reuters has this story. Israel's weakened Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he ended up surviving the re-election, but he saw his offer on Thursday of a coalition with his strongest political rival, rebuked or refused after failing to secure a governing majority in a tight election. So there's still some moving pieces there. Netanyahu is Israel's longest serving leader. And he says that he wants to meet soon with his opposition so that they can form a unity. He was seeking a unity government. An Amazonian tribe that has the healthiest hearts ever have been studied, and now they're slowly gaining weight because they were introduced to processed cooking oils. I think they should take the processed cooking oils away from them. They said that the 80-year-olds that are in this village in the Amazon, they said that it's deep in the Bolivian Amazon, these indigenous people have the healthiest hearts ever studied, and that the 80-year-olds there, their heart health looks like that of a 50-year-old person. Wow. Because of their activity and their diet. Oh my gosh. An Iowa man, 21, he was arrested after using an axe to hack to death his relative's elderly dogs. Death penalty for that guy. I'm fine with that. Stay with us.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
So you say that in your environmental crisis plan that you want the United States to stop all use of nuclear energy. What do you identify as the problems with nuclear energy, and what do you say to those who think it simply gets a bad reputation?
What was the last thing you said? What do I say
What are your issues with nuclear energy?
Well, I know Germany had said at one point, we're just going no nuclear. But then when they said no nuclear, there was a problem because they had a hard time keeping up with the other standards that they agreed to. What is wrong with that? If something goes wrong with nuclear energy, I don't think people have really stopped to take in the horror. See, we need an integrated politics. We need to go beyond hard data. We need to go beyond just thinking about the facts. I want you to think about this with your heart. Something goes wrong there. What are we even talking about? How can we even consider it?
Wow. Okay. So, Marianne Williamson, we've got to do this with our heart.
Not facts.
Man, that's like an 80s song. So good. Welcome back to the show. At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I don't know why, but it seems only natural that I would want to segue from talking about her to Area 51 and show us some aliens. I don't dislike her. I think she's a hoot. And I don't mean that like to be mean. I mean, for real, like she seems at least fun. So that Area 51 thing is happening tomorrow. They're and Nevada residents, like tiny little town. So when Kane and I were at SHOT Show, dude, I'm saying, like, next for SHOT Show next year, I'm saying I think we need to go to Area 51. It's a two-hour drive from Vegas.
I'm in.
And there's nothing there. Nothing there. I just want to go get my picture in front of the thing that says, don't go past this point or you'll be shot. I have weird bucket list things. I have very weird bucket list things. Like, I want to go on a road trip and go to all the alien cafes. And then I want to get my picture there. And then I want to get my picture at the spot where Forrest Gump was running with my family. And just kind of weird stuff, you know? I don't know.
But is it happening tomorrow, you think?
I don't know. It's apparently...
I know it's scheduled for tomorrow.
If you believe everything, it's the Storm Area 51 movement, which was apparently the guy who started it all totally just gave up because it just got crazy. And the 50 people who live in Rachel, Nevada... are apparently watching the... I wish they had like a live stream or something. That would just be so...
I bet you they do.
They've been... Storm Area 51 crowds are worrying the little tiny town of Rachel where there's 50 people and there's one little big hotel where they have like 8 rooms. And... I mean, the guy who's the Lincoln County Commissioner there, man, if this is not a name ever, Varlin Higby. I could make up something like that if I tried. I am making fun of it. I think it's awesome, but... I mean, that is authentic. Varlin Higby. Yeah. He said that they have staged for crowds to handle crowds like 30 to 40,000 people. Apparently, they had to spend $250,000 in scarce funds. So y'all people better be showing up there. They already spent this money. So one of the they actually talked to a sociologist because the FAA closed the nearby airspace this week. And promoters were scouring sites. They had a beer company that produced alien-themed cans, and then a Nevada brothel even offered discounts. I just don't even know. George Harris, the guy who owns the Alien Research Center souvenir store, welcomed the attention. He was going to have a whole cultural program. And then they have the Area 51 base camp, which was promising up to 60 food trucks and vendors, trash electric service, robust security and medical staff. They said they would appreciate, and I, by the way, can I just say that I love how the town, some of the people in the town are reacting to this. So like Harris and some of the other townspeople literally recreated that back fence that I was just talking about. If you, and I can find it on a map like that, it's like right next to a dry lake bed and a groom lake. And they recreated the big fence that everybody goes to get their picture taken at. And they said, we would really appreciate it if you just took your picture at our recreated fence, because they want to keep everybody safe. It's just so great. He goes, it's exactly the same. It's what he's quoted as saying. Because the town of Rachel is several miles down the road from the unmarked dirt road that actually leads to Area 51. And so he said, so Harris, the guy who runs it, and it shows up on maps if you see it, you know, he's right there at this intersection of this highway and the smaller road, and that you take that smaller road down to get to Area 51. And he was saying, as long as they don't go on the desert floor and destroy the ecosystem, everybody's going to have a good time. So they have another hotel owner who is planning alien stock, and it is actually a little bit over 2 hours from Vegas. Very lonely road dubbed the extraterrestrial highway. So the alien stock was going to have 20 acts, musical acts, plus food vendors and souvenir sellers. And then the guy who created it is like, I'm done. I don't want anything else to do with it. Air Force issued stern warnings for people. Don't begin near these gates, y'all. Don't do it. They have spent so much. How many years have they spent like denying that the site even existed? And then finally in 2013, they're like, okay, it exists. All right, we're here. All right, you get it. We're testing flight stuff. So.
And they just came out with the videos are verified as authentic. Just recently.
Okay, not the ones where they were cutting up this alien.
No,
in
not
area.
That one.
Okay, so this is the story. I know this is a little bit of departure from politics, but you're going to enjoy it. So. Last night I was working on my draft from my book, my manuscript, finishing some things up, and we watched, before everybody went to bed, we watched Dark Phoenix, which actually was really good. It was really good. It was heavy, and I was so cheering for Magneto. That's all I'm gonna say. And afterwards, we come downstairs, and my husband, Chris, had not yet seen the story. We talked about it on air, and you all were aware of it. The story that we had the other day where the Navy was like, okay, yeah, all right, those UFO videos of the weird UFOs zipping around in the sky that you see, yeah, that's real. We have no idea what they are. And my husband had come downstairs, and he was standing in the living room watching that as a headline on television. And it's like 10:30, and he's totally creeped out. And he turns and looks, and he goes, "This is why nobody's taking my guns, because of aliens." He's like, "Don't even be talking about taking my guns at the same time you're telling me this alien stuff is real." It's like, no. And I thought about it. I'm like, see, that's true, because you don't want to, like, those weirdo aliens from science. So then we had this huge conversation about scripture and aliens, because I'm like, it's totally possible for aliens to exist. You have to stop thinking that because God didn't specifically spell it out in the Bible, you can't take God's silence on something to be, then you just don't know. I think that there's aliens out there. That's me, because I love sci-fi. I would love it. Here's my fear. And this is what I told him. I go, why does everybody think these aliens are like the big googly-eyed aliens? I'm like, what if? Because remember the headline that we had Monday, that where they found another planet like way off, and it had water. It had like literally like it was the right temperature, everything. What if there's just like a whole other planet of humans, and they got a Bible too, and they're just like they'll maybe a little bit more technologically advanced, and they're zipping around and like, oh my gosh, look at those people. That scares me more if they're like us. That scares the hell out of me.
You're more comfortable with the unknown alien.
I'm totally fine with the creepy ones, with the creepy fingers that got chopped off in signs.
But to know there's humans on another planet.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying to me. I mean, think about it. What if they're meaner? And then my husband's like, well, we have dominion on this planet. He's like, so no. I'm like, that's fine. They what if they're like, that's your dominion, bro, but we're over here on ours, you know? I don't know. But to me, it scares me more if they're like us.
So that means, though, if they are more advanced than us, they could have already been visiting, and they're probably already integrated into this society because they look like humans.
I don't know,
human,
maybe.
Right?
Or what if they're like the, I don't know. There's so many possibilities. I just don't know. It's just weird. But it scares me more if they're like us than if they're not. Doesn't that scare you? Because I know human nature.
Yeah.
Humans are creepy. We are bad people.
But we know human nature.
We try to be
Earth.
Good. Yeah.
What about human nature in another planet?
What if they're all like Jeffrey Dahmer? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Woo. That's creepy. Think about it. Or they could all be like that JoJo Siwa girl with the side ponies and the neon everywhere and the accessories line at Target. I don't know.
Nobody wants that.
I mean, it's all frightening. So I don't know. I mean, so we were talking about it. He was totally creeped out. But it's like, yeah, maybe don't talk about taking my guns when you're when you're also like, we want your guns and, oh, by the way, here's some aliens. Just don't really, I'm not cool with that. The if you haven't seen the UFO videos, though, those little, the objects that are in the sky are actually flying around like a child would make a plane, a toy airplane fly in the sky. That's what they're flying around like. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
So,
The Defense Department did say in a release statement over the weekend, though, that, quote, the U.S. Air Force always stands ready to protect America and its assets. So, I guess that includes tomorrow.
I don't think that they have aliens there. I think that it's just they've got like they test flight stuff.
So
that's what I
think. Aliens are at Area 51?
No.
You believe
maybe.
In aliens, but you don't believe aliens are at Area 51?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of believe in aliens, but
I think if they ever were, then they were moved. There's no way they're going to keep
them there.
You
think they were moved before the storm Area 51?
Oh, I think they've been moved like the moment they made that place existed public.
Interesting.
I mean, that's only smart.
I guess all of these aliens are also undocumented.
Oh, for crying out loud. Why did I know? I had that in the back of my head this whole time. All right, so Pete Buttigieg kind of got it. That story that we had of the 2,000 fetal remains that were discovered in the house of this late abortion doctor who worked in South Bend. So it took Pete Buttigieg, that's right, about 8 days to break his silence on it. But when he finally actually remarked on it, it was odd. He, audio soundbite 8, this is what he said.
Like everyone, I find that news out of Illinois extremely disturbing, and I think it's important that be fully investigated. I also hope that it doesn't get caught up in politics at a time when women need access to health care. But there's no question that what happened is disturbing, it's unacceptable, and it needs to be looked at.
Yeah, well, he was like, I hope people don't politicize it. Isn't it kind of already politicized? I mean, the dude had 2,000 fetal remains. It's like Kermit Gosnell all over again. He had fetal remains up in his house. That's a lot of dead babies.
How can anyone not look at this in some sort of political way?
Yeah, you got 2,000 dead babies on your property? That's creepy. Maybe we should talk about politicizing this. He's like, well, I hope people don't politicize it. What do you mean? It kind of is. That's why they're there. Good night. We have Florida man on the way. No, I'm not going to the Area 51. Somebody was asking me that. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, not because I'm going to Area 51. I realized that was highly coincidental. And thank you for like the 12 people that emailed me. It's not because I'm going to the Area 51 thing. I'm going to visit my kid in college. So that is why I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
Because it's true you're going to Area
51? No, I'm denying it because I'm not going. So okay. I'm denying that I am going because I am not going. Thus, if I'm asked if I'm going, I'm saying no, I'm not.
Got it.
So I'm not going to be in Nevada.
I think it's more clear now than it was a few minutes ago.
I'm not going to be there. I'm not.
Okay.
Now, if we...
Did you wink then just
No.
Then? Okay.
If we lived in Nevada and we were not... We were just a couple hours away. Yes, I would. Just to see what's going on.
Shot show.
Just to see. And maybe, you know, get some alien souvenirs. Because that's my jam. But then that's about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't step on cactuses or lizards. Cacti or lizards while you're there, everybody. All right, we got to get moving. I know. We got Florida Man coming up. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative cell phone service. I don't know why I said it like that. Maybe it's because I thought you'd listen more. But look, I have people tell me all the time if I talk about, I ordered something off Amazon. By the way, the shirt that I wore in Fox and Friends this morning, I bought off Amazon. I really did. It was like $16. And I'll get people who say, well, I can't work with Amazon because Jeff Bezos. Oh, but you're like totally fine with your big mobile phone service where you're going to spend literally more money on supporting abortion and gun control than you do from just like doing business with Amazon, because that's a fact. I mean, you can go to open the books and you can actually, I have done this. I've looked to see where my money was actually having more of an impact with progressive spending. And it was my big mobile phone service, because they spend, I'm just going to be frank, buttloads of money. I don't know how else to put it to you. They spend a lot of money on supporting those issues. And so I decided I don't want to spend money on the things I vote against. And I switched to Patriot Mobile. They make it easy. I mean, for crying out loud, keep your number, get a new one, keep your phone, get a new one. They have so many different deals right now. You can start on an unlimited plan as low as $25 a month. And they have a Moto Z3 play phone for only $5 a month right now, but that's only while supplies last. So switch today. They donate a portion of their profits to organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights, family values, small government, and pro-life issues. So call 1-877-367-7524 or just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. They've donated over $2 million to support conservative causes. Patriotmobile.com/Dana. Switch today.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heck yes. This is a song you play when you're coming into Florida, man. Woo-wee. All right. Let's go ahead and kick it. Woo.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Well, let's see here. I don't even know where to start. Florida man stole a bird from a pet store. We got a kid who threw a rock at a bus driver and hit the bus driver. Actually, threw a rock at the bus driver's head. Yeah, I mean, it just, some of these people, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Let's actually start with that kid. Lake County boy, 10 years old. 10 years old, Fox 35, threw a rock at a, quote, annoying, end quote, bus driver's head. A 10-year-old Lake County boy was reportedly arrested on battery charges because authorities say he threw a rock at a bus driver's head because he thought the bus driver was, according to the boy, quote, talking and being annoying, end quote.
Wow.
Yeah. Smack, but not that word. It has an H in it.
He just wanted to do hood rat stuff with his friends?
Yeah, he wanted, I don't know, man, gosh.
10
years old. He said the police arrested the boy at the Hannah Grace Homes, a juvenile facility in Claremont. They charged him with battery on a person 65 years ages or older. The bus driver, Cleland Story, told a deputy that the boy has a history of discipline problems, including throwing rocks at the bus before getting on and shaking a partition between the seats and the bus stairs. So the boy was shaking the partition, and the bus driver, she told him to stop. So he chucked two rocks at her. One hit her on the shoulder. The other forcefully hit her in her right temple, bruised her head. A counselor saw what happened and immediately responded to separate them. The boy then told her that he threw the rocks because she was talking blank and was annoying.
Wow.
Wow. Woman accused of leaving her 3-year-old daughter in the car while she worked at the strip club. Manochika Daniels, 23, faces one count of child neglect. She left her 3-year-old daughter alone in the car for about 3 hours while she worked at a strip club in Lauderhill. And someone called 911 shortly before 2 a.m. because the daughter was crying and roaming around the Vegas Cabaret parking lot. So she's in child services. The mom's been arrested. Wow. Stick with us. Third hour next.
So you listen to a justice like Antonin Scalia, you know, not the most liberal justice who'd served on the Supreme Court. And even he found that there is no absolute guarantee under the Second Amendment, and that the government does have a power to regulate those kinds of weapons that are extraordinarily unusual or deadly.
Okay, so welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Oh, my goodness. @DLash on Twitter. Official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. Okay, so a couple of things here. That was Beto O'Rourke, and he's completely wrong. He is 1,011% wrong on this, and I'm going to explain why. Interestingly enough, I actually wrote about this in my first book, Hands Off My Gun, which is still available on Amazon, and I have my AR-15 right on the cover of it. And I actually had to fight my publisher for that. My publisher did not want to put the AR-15 on the cover, and they wanted me to just sit in a chair like a Harlequin romance novel and hold a, just hold my Glock. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. We're using this rifle, or I'm not shooting a damn cover. Just pick it. Anyway, so what he's talking about is an incorrect interpretation of what Scalia actually wrote. It's a sloppy, very sloppy misinterpretation. Because when you look at Scalia's opinion, when he was and also he's given speeches about that, when he's given lectures about this before, rather, and he's discussed what is or was not considered lawful under the Second Amendment or any of going all the way back to the colonial times. I mean, He had noted that how the where it concerns the Second Amendment and the idea that it is not unlimited, what Scalia is specifically discussing are individuals who, for instance, this is one example, who choose of their own will, decide to behave in so violent a manner, they are a danger to themselves and other individuals, they commit a crime, they end a life, things like that. And that their penalty is a prohibition because of the forfeiture, their willful forfeiture of their Second Amendment rights, knowing full well what the punishment was going to be, that's when the state could act. And then they also get into, because he said specifically, nothing in our opinion should be taken to cast doubt on longstanding prohibitions of the possession of firearms by felons and the mentally ill, or laws forbidding the carrying of firearms in sensitive places such as schools and government buildings, or laws imposing conditions and qualifications in the commercial sale of arms. And he also noted as well, when he got into common use, the thing, and that's the other, what people have been trying to argue with Scalia posthumously about that for such a ever long time. The problem with this is that he was specifically talking about commonly owned firearms, and he did describe previously the AR-15 as a commonly, like any kind of semi-automatic rifle. These are some of the most commonly owned firearms in the United States of America. And he also noted that when you looked at the conception of the militia at the time of the Second Amendment's ratification, was that the body of all citizens capable of military service, and this is what he wrote, who would bring the sorts of lawful weapons that they possessed at home to militia duty. And it may well be true today that a militia, to be effective as the militias in the 18th century, would require sophisticated arms that are highly unusual in society at large. And he said that the fact that modern developments have limited the degree of fit between the prefatory clause and the protected right cannot change our interpretation of the right. And he also discussed colonial era affrighting. He actually, at one point, let me open this up, because I've written about this so many times, and just the bastardization of what his actual opinion was. And he had written about, when you look at certain limitations, and when you look at what it was back in, let me pull this up, because I wrote about this over at DanaRadio.com, which I haven't updated because we're redoing the entire thing. So when he was discussing the majority, when he wrote the majority opinion, and specifically as what I just quoted, he was discussing the prohibitions on, like I said, felons, people who are adjudicated mentally unfit, and certain things like schools and government buildings. But he also had made mention previously of affrighting, which I guess you could say, affrighting is like brandishing, essentially. He had been asked before about the limitations upon the right to bear arms, and this somewhat reflected his opinion in Heller when he said that, there were some that were acknowledged at the time in the colonial era. For example, there was a tort called affrighting, which if you carried around a really horrible weapon just to scare people, like a head axe or something, that I believe was a misdemeanor. So there were some limitations that could be imposed. Now, affrighting is inapplicable to the commonly held firearms gun control advocates want to ban today, so it's a completely, totally, ridiculously illogical claim. And brandishing suggests intimidation, which is a felony in most states, and that's applicable to common use firearms. Like if you're brandishing and what I mean by that, like if you are, somebody's approaching you and you draw down on them, that could be considered, you could be charged with a felony, and that would, and it changes state to state, but Long story short, without getting in the weeds, Beto O'Rourke is wrong when he tries to bastardize what Scalia's intent was here, because you don't you can just read what he wrote himself when he was talking about the limitations on Second Amendment rights. He's discussing when you voluntarily, knowing full well that the penalty could be a forfeiture, and you are the only person by way of having inherently those natural rights that can actually take away your own rights. A government cannot do it. You have to forfeit it. And within that context, that is what Scalia's opinion directly reflected. Now, he also had said, Bader had also said this audio soundbite. This was two, I believe.
But when it comes to firearms used for hunting or self-defense, the answer is no. And I don't want you or anyone else to get into the fear-mongering that some have fallen prey to, saying that the government's going to come and take all of your guns. What we're talking about exclusively is weapons of war that have no place in our homes.
I hear you.
No place on our streets, and should remain on the battlefield.
I hear you. We'll talk law first and then politics.
So what battlefield is the AR-15 on? What military issues to those serving an AR-15 to take on the battlefield? Anybody know?
I don't.
I don't either. I don't either. So that's also silly. When you talk about weapons of war, you're discussing everything from semi-automatic handguns to bolt-action rifles, because bolt-action rifles are used by some snipers. You're also talking about other semi-automatic rifles. In addition to full auto or select fire capable rifles, you also have servicemen and women who do carry, you know, semi-automatic handguns as a sidearm, as a secondary, meaning that's their primary weapons, their rifle, and then they have their secondary, their handgun. So they're, I mean, he's talking about banning absolutely everything. And he says, I'm talking exclusively about weapons of war. Well, there are a lot of things that are used on the battlefield. But until you can actually learn what you're talking about, I don't think that you're in any position, Beto O'Rourke, to be able to determine what we can or cannot carry. When I know more about you than a topic on a particular topic, you don't have the right to tell me what to do with my lawfully owned items that I know more about than you do. Sit down. Don't mansplain me my rights.
Is there a legal definition that explains weapons of war? Like, is there anything?
No. In fact, and let me pull this up because I have this as well. There isn't. Nobody uses the stupid phrase weapons of war.
Right.
It's completely stupid, made up.
It's intentionally meant to generalize guns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a completely stupid, made up phrase, somewhat similar to
an assault rifle.
Yeah. Now, assault rifle, the only time that that's actually ever been used to describe a semi-automatic or any kind of rifle, it was used, what was this? I think it was like an army field. It was a field guide. And I had this somewhere. It was a field guide. It was a Department of Defense manual, and they said assault rifle, and they specifically defined it as a fully automatic firearm that's actually carried by those in combat in the battlefield. That's the only time that has actually ever been used.
And those are illegal.
Well, I mean, NFA item. I mean, they're NFA items, and they're virtually illegal. So, I mean, and the idea that you can just go and get that is idiotic. Now, I also wanted to bring this up because this just broke while we were on air, and I was looking for I was looking for some trends on this. So The Hill says that Colt has announced it's no longer going to produce the AR-15 for personal use. Colt president and CEO said that in a statement that the company's significant law enforcement and military contracts are absorbing all of Colt's manufacturing capacity for rifles. Now, here's what people are going to think. They're going to, because Colt makes also what I'm talking about, military ready. And when you know, AR, where it's not just a semi-automatic, I mean, you have how do I put it in layman's terms, a beefed up version that can do 3-round bursts, etc., and they produce those as well. So this statement that I'm looking at here, let me pull this up. The statement that I'm looking at here, Colt's response to questions about Colt participation in consumer markets. They say that there's been a lot of articles recently published, but they say the fact of the matter is over the last few years, the market for modern sporting rifles has experienced significant excess manufacturing capacity. Given this level of manufacturing capacity, we at Colt believe there's adequate supply for modern sporting rifles in the foreseeable future, etc. They said that we, on the other hand, our warfighters in the LEO continue to demand Colt rifles. We're fortunate enough, blah, blah, blah. So Colt's not going to make the AR-15 anymore, at least the civilian legal version of the AR-15. But they're going to make the they're going to continue manufacturing the full auto version, which is a different name, folks out there, because some people don't realize, you know, they think that now the way that I have already, and you'll have to forgive me because this just came out and I'm looking at what I'm looking at right now are the headlines where they're trying to spin this to say that this is a win for Beto O'Rourke. I'm not even kidding you. So here's the thing. Modern sporting rifle market is incredibly saturated. AR-15s are so unbelievably common. They're cheap. They're so damn cheap. I mean, you can get them for, like, you know, the only other time that I remember their price actually going up was, what? Was this back when Obama, it was like in 2012?
It was towards the end of Obama's first.
No. But I mean, I think it was after Sandy Hook too. Right. I think it was after Sandy Hook too. So this, there was the, I think that they, because everyone was so afraid that he was going to ban them, that everybody bought them up. And I remember that was like one of the only times that you could actually, they were actually kind of pricey. But I mean, Colt's saying that they're not going to make an AR-15, but what, they're going to do like an M16 or something. They're still going to make that for military, but they are saying that the market is so, and it is, it's saturated. Colt has a lot of competition. And I want to remind everyone too that the AR-15 design wise, and when the AR-15 was first manufactured, and I'm going to tell you two things that are not going to be politically correct. Well, one is not definitely not going to be politically correct, but it is actually the truth. I have read two separate books on the history of weaponry, specifically that which was also used from the beginning of our military on. And I read that one in advance of my first book, Hands Off My Gun, and that's where I was getting a lot of my historical information. And I began researching belt and guns and puckle guns, not to go too long, but I'm trying to get all of this in. Two things. First and foremost, the AR-15, cheap gun. It was not originally made for the military. It was a civilian firearm that later the military adopted because it was more lightweight, easier handling, a lower recoil, and that was the M16. They fashioned it into the M16, so that was what they were able to use in the military. The second thing is that for anyone who sits here and argues that these specific types of firearms are specifically to kill is incorrect. In fact, they were designed to injure as many of the enemy as possible and to deplete the enemy's resources faster by way of taking care of their wounded. If you do not believe me, I encourage you to educate yourself on the topic as much as I have educated myself on the topic before you begin to debate me on it. As we get ready to move on, CarShield's a great program that you need to check out. And it is extended vehicle service protection. So if your car breaks down, you get 24/7 roadside assistance, right? You get somebody to come up and help you with your car, no matter what time of the day it is. And you get a rental car while yours is in the shop. So you can take your car to be repaired by the mechanic you trust and have worked with before or the dealership. And then CarShield will reimburse them. You're not on the hook for it. The administrators at CarShield have paid out about $2 billion in claims and they want to help you. So why spend thousands of dollars in repairs when you could save yourself some money and also be cared for in the process? You can just get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle protection by calling 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana when you call, or you can just visit carshield.com and use code Dana to save 10%. Carshield.com, code Dana, 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana. A deductible may apply.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So Harvey Weinstein's attorney whines, according to Huffington Post, that his whole life has been ruined because of all of this stuff. That's what his attorney, Donna Rotunno, told CBS this morning. Side note, no one cares. Maybe don't be a big, giant pervert and be all weird about ladies and that won't happen. I don't actually All right, I realize this is like really wasteful. I get it. But at the same time, I also understand the importance of dogs. Ariana Grande flew her dogs Myron and Toulouse with her on a private jet to Glasgow and treated them to their own room at a like almost $2,000 a night penthouse suite.
Nice.
Must be nice. Her dogs live the life better than most people. I'm just saying that I don't know why you would put them in a separate room, you know? President Trump was photographed with some cash in his back pocket, ladies and gentlemen, and it is very important that we make a big deal about this, says the media. Reuters says money is seen in the president's back pocket as he boards Air Force One in Mountain View, California. He had some 20s legit hanging out of his pocket. And Trump said when he was asked about it, he goes, you know, I like to leave a little something. I like to leave a tip. That's what he said. That's why he says he doesn't carry a wallet because he hasn't had to use a credit card in a long time. He goes, I do like leaving tips to the hotel. He goes, I like to give tips to the hotel. He goes, I'm telling you, maybe a president's not supposed to do it, but I like to leave a tip for the hotel. That's what he says. And what's wrong with that? That's great. That's what, I mean, it's, you take care of people, right? I mean, good heavens. Why are people getting weird over this stuff? Anyway, moving on. There are 2.9 billion fewer birds in the United States and Canada now than 50 years ago, according to a new study. They said a steep decline has stunned the researchers. Well, they're actually all here in Texas. And in fact, whenever I go to the gym, they're all in that tree right in the parking lot by my gym. And they leave evidence of it legit all over my vehicle. So that's where all the birds are, in case you wanted to know. That's where they are. So coming up, we have more in store. Americans are asked by NBC to confess their climate change sins.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is your non-Apple laptop not playing the video clip, Kane?
Would you stop
that? Is that what it is? You mean your PC is not going to play this video clip that we were going to start this segment with because you won't get on your Mac? That's okay. Yeah, go ahead,
please,
Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
Play it.
The bottom line with Iran is radical Islam does not accept
subtlety
well.
That's not it, though.
Well.
You're wrong, too.
The only
You're all wrong.
I think you can reach.
No, that wasn't it.
Cut three.
It was audio soundbite three. It was audio. I'm going to mime it. You guys won't be able to hear it, but you can imagine. And imagining's
That's
half
not
the fun.
Good. That doesn't translate well for radio.
No, it doesn't.
Miming.
This is Look, I'm doing it now. I'm miming.
Play it while she's miming.
We have a chance to do something here because of this movement, because of all these parents and these kids all around the country who have stood up and said enough is enough. We finally have the White House starting to slowly move towards us on the issue of at least expanding background checks to cover more gun sales in this country. We're not close to there yet, but as has been reported, the White House is circulating some new language today, and the fact that we're still talking is good news.
So that is Chris Murphy. My kids are like, don't disarm my mom. And we want to be able to have our rights, too. So don't think that just people who agree with your side are the only people who actually really believe that, you know, they're the only opinion that matters. I think it's really especially, I think it's particularly sexist to ignore women who disagree with you. But there it is. No, the White House is actually not moving on that. In fact, everything that I've read and everything that I've seen, and I've talked to tons of different people about this, White House is not moving on anything because they, in fact, Trump has been part, the way that it was said to me was, quote, particularly frosty, which I actually think is kind of funny. He's been particularly frosty about this stuff. And I can see why. When you do not want to be the president of the United States, when if your party sells out Americans on background checks and everything else, the White House now has already, they've denied any ties to that document. And I put it up on Facebook, by the way, Official Dana Lash on Facebook. I put it up there last night. The document that has been circulating. And I also threw up there for you because I'm super helpful. And I give you the research that I have. There's two government studies. One of them specifically states that the only way that a universal background checks are going to be able to work is if there is a registry involved. Now, the document that's being passed around that the White House is denying it, that they're like, this is not ours. It ain't ours, just FYI. And the document is, it's a hot mess. They say idea for new unlicensed commercial sale background checks. The language is weird, and it's not, it's weird. There's certain things that they don't have completely, totally defined, things of that measure. Someone asked, is McConnell still standing strong not to bring this to Senate vote? Look, if Mitch McConnell thinks for 1 second that Trump is not going to sign this, he's not going to do it. He is not going to move on it. And that's what he has said. And McConnell will stick to that. He's not going to move unless the White House says that they're going to sign it. And you have Republicans looking at the president for not so much just leadership on this, but looking at for some shade. They want him to take some attention off of them so that they can do what needs to be done, because they're just going to be hounded over it. That's what it is. But I put up in here, I have what the memo gets wrong. The memo gets it wrong that legal private sales are the ones that is the way that prohibited possessors are supplied with firearms. In fact, the majority are obtained from the black market. Secondly, they're obtained from straw purchases. And I included, helpfully, the most recent Department of Justice report showing that absolutely, in fact, criminals get their guns chiefly from the black market and straw purchases, which until very recently under this administration were rarely prosecuted. That changed with the new president. Second, despite all the protests otherwise, it is unarguable. It establishes a de facto registry. I don't care if you have third parties that store the records. If the government can access the records that the third parties are storing, then the government has a registry, period. Why do people think that that's like a legitimate, oh, well, you know, they're not, they're, they can keep that. Just, no, they can still access them. There's also some discussion, and I said this in the comments in a response to someone, because there's so many pieces of legislation right now floating around about this. You have three pieces in the House. You have like three or four. You have three bills in the Senate. And one of those dealt with red flags laws, the universal background checks, the Cruz-Grassley bill. There are three pieces that are in the House that deal with universal background checks, red flag laws. Then there's the TAPS thing. And then there's one of the proposals that was actually looking at incorporating and creating, for the lack of a better way to put it, a secondary class of FFL that would make everyone a de facto FFL for the most part. But for the universal background system to work, the government has to know what people have. So somebody can't just go, oh, well, I got this, you know, AR-15 before this was all passed. Everybody will say that then. They have to, I mean, that's the way it has to be. And furthermore, the memo, I felt like this was a stupid bone that Barr was throwing to people, to Republicans, as a way to get them to shut up about punishment. It suggests civil penalties as an enforcement tool. Like, that's supposed to like make people feel better that it's not a criminal penalty. That's so stupid. Stop. But I put in a ton of research in there, including how gun laws, you know, with regards to universal background checks have had little effect. There are several different studies that are in here. And then additionally, there is also the National Institute of Justice, which stated specifically that, quote, effectiveness depends on the ability to reduce straw purchasing and require gun registration. So you will establish a registry. That's our National Institute of Justice. And I included the actual PDF of the memo that was sent out by Dr. Greg Ridgway. And it was dated January 4th, 2013. And it says gun buybacks are ineffective, but it says universal background checks, if we have a gun registry, will work. So you can go and read that for yourself. And if ever you have a discussion with someone about any of this and you need some things, then it's all right there in that post that I put in last night. And I also have, that is the memo that you see in there. That is the exact same thing that Bill Barr has been sending around to Republican lawmakers. Now, from what I understand, Republican lawmakers are really, they're as more and more gun owners are slamming the memo, Republicans are walking away from it. So the louder you are civilly, and the more you reach out to your lawmakers, the more shade that you're giving them. You are the more that you're covering them, and you're allowing them to do what needs to be done, because they need to know you're going to fight for them if they shut this down. They need to know that you got their six. You need to make sure that you have your lawmakers back. If they're going to shut this down and they are doing what needs to be done constitutionally and reaffirming the rights that we shouldn't need to be affirmed to people who are statists, you need to have their back and you need to make sure that you are ready to defend them. And that means going to some of these town halls so that there's a friendly presence there in the corner for them. That means writing on Facebook. That means stepping up for them on social media. Send some encouraging emails. Send an encouraging email regardless. It is nothing for you to email them. They need to know that that support is out there. I cannot emphasize how important that is. And it is the least you can do. They have to know that you got their back. I had several lawmakers that had reached out to me asking me about the Cruz-Grassley bill, what my thoughts were, because I've gone over it. I went over it again last night, and I went over it yesterday. I went over it yesterday afternoon. I went over it. Actually, yesterday morning, I went over it last night. We're line by line. And for the most part, there are some things in there that I think are really promising. Specifically, and I know that there are factions of the Second Amendment community that think, you know, background checks are an infringement. Look, what we have right now is the law. If you want to change it, change it. Law. I mean, this is where we are right now. We got to play with the cards that we have. And I really think that there is a vested interest in some people to make the system not work so that they can claim it doesn't work, so we need more restrictive measures. You have to be aware of that. Because this system, you actually have state agencies in some of the states that have cities with the largest homicide rate, and they are refusing to submit, or they just don't submit for whatever lazy reason, all of their prohibited possession cases. And you know, the system's not going to work if it doesn't have the data to check. And there's a reason why you have Democrat lawmakers not bringing attention to that, because they don't want the system to work. They don't want the system to work so that they can call for something more restrictive to use as a substitute. So it is incredibly important that the system works as was promised, right? And I think the Grassley-Cruz bill actually does that. And I think with regards to the Nix, it does that. The thing that I am concerned about, I have two concerns. I thought that there was more discussion of Cruz-Grassley of video games than there were of family issues or psychotropic drugs that also are a bigger factor in and a common denominator in these incidents of mass casualties with regards to the perpetrator. I don't believe in substituting gun control with game control. And I am 11th. You will get me fired up quicker than anything. I know a lot about this issue. And I think a lot of people just listen to the stuff that some of these politicians say, and they're like, well, that sounds like a good excuse. Let's blame it on video games. To hell with that. That's lazy. And I'm actually really hostile to it. I normally don't get hostile to certain arguments. I am hostile towards that. I think you're substituting one thing to control for something else. Just step up people's liberties. You know what I'm saying? Just leave it alone. But I also think it's a dodge. I think that when you focus too much on video games, it's difficult to tell people to take accountability for stuff. You know, you got a messed up family member, take responsibility for your messed up family member. Do the community a solid. And if they're too dangerous to be able to have a firearm, get them adjudicated unfit. Have a civil commitment. There are so many legal options right now available for people to take advantage of to do this that doesn't involve screwing all of us over. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I wish that there was, and I don't know if it's even possible in this bill. They did talk about incentives to get the background check system to work. I would like to see severe penalties for individuals, you know, DAs, things like that. People who allow these violent reoffenders to constantly plea down or to just let them off with no bail, you know, nothing paid. Their own, you know, sign your signature bond, something like that. I'm so tired of that. And increasing those penalties. I wanted to see more from that in this bill. But at the same time, I'm also mindful that we're talking about a political party that refused just last week to include known gang members on a shorter, more easily accessible for law enforcement red flag list. And I wish that, I really wish that we could have that. I want to play that really quickly, that Cruz audio where he was discussing games, because I asked him about that. And I said, I don't want to substitute it. This is what he had to say. Listen, from yesterday.
Oh, listen, I'm a gamer myself. I grew up on video games. I think you often see some of the puritanical voices in our society trying to scapegoat video games. I'll tell you, it was interesting at Santa Fe. I spent a lot of times with the families of the victims of that shooting. And I remember one round table, actually, President Trump was at the round table as well, and the question was asked of the families, what do you think about video games and violent video games? And one of the dads said, you know, video games are the main way that I connected with my high schooler and was able to hang out and have yeah. bonding time. And I'll confess, look, I've got an 11-year-old and 8-year-old, and when I put Caroline, our 11-year-old, to bed, you know, right now she wants to play Gardenscapes on my iPhone, and we sit there in her bedroom playing games together. And you know, I don't think we ought to be restricting people's liberties. I think we ought to be focusing on violent criminals, and that's the fundamental distinction between good guys and bad guys. And we should protect the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens. If you're a murderer, you're going away.
There you go. So I like what he had to say about that. So the ones who are asking me about Grassley Cruz, I think if you're going to, that one is, and there is not anything in there that infringes on due process that I read. And I took notes. I went over it. I even shared my notes with Kane and Steve. There's nothing in there that actually, that threatens due process at all. So I'm really, and when you talk about strengthening the NIC system, it's not violating HIPAA. It's not nothing. It's literally going after the agencies who screw up. So I'm cool with that. I'm all right with that. Yeah, I mean, think about it. I know we got to go to break, but again, I said this to you yesterday, and I want you to remember this. If you screwed up at work and you cost somebody their life, oh my gosh, think of the criminal suits and the civil suits. But if you're in a state agency and you do it and it gets somebody killed because you didn't submit a record, holy cow, nothing happens to you. Do you think that's fair? Because I don't. We got Today in Stupidity as well coming up. Raycon makes some pretty sweet wireless earbuds. I think they're the best out there on the market, and they're the most comfortable too. They're also the most discreet. And unlike some of these other wireless earbuds that want to overcharge you just because of a logo, Raycon's not like that. They're comfortable. They actually sound fantastic. And they come in so many different, they have different kinds that they make because obviously, you know, you wear earbuds for a number of different purposes and throughout a number of different activities too. And so, like, for instance, I have the Raycon E50s, but then, you know, there are other individuals out there who may want a pair that are waterproof. Maybe they swim, maybe they do. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why people maybe do what they do. So anyway, buyraycon.com/Dana is the website. I want you to go because you're going to get 15% off the already low price. You can also see, it'll show you up there the different size gel caps that you can get. It snaps right on your earbuds. It makes sure that you have a perfect customized fit. While at the same time, it also provides an extra layer of noise cancellation. The audio is fantastic. Your earbuds charge, I think, faster than the other earbuds that I've had. But I just can't say enough about the sound quality. Talk on the phone, you got a long battery life, all kinds of stuff. It is unreal what the Raycons are priced at, considering how great they sound. These are premium wireless earbuds that don't have the premium price tag. So visit buyraycon.com/Dana to get 15% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/Dana.
Spanning coast to coast and all over Flyover Nation.
The Dana Show.
So the people asking me about the Colt stuff. You know, Colt has they have big military contracts. They can't handle both the big military contract and the consumer market, which is totally oversaturated with semi-automatic rifles already, many of them Colts. Not just AR-15s either. It's period modern sporting rifles. So don't let the news spin that for you. Today in Stupidity, sorry.
Senator Warren is out there saying that somehow men were not responsible for any of the population. We're not here because of men, believe it or not.
We are not here today because of famous arches or famous men. In fact,
We're not here because of man at all.
Really? I think that flies in the face of science. There honestly, you go. So
right there.
Qualifies for stupidity.
Yep, yep. Folks, that does it for our show today. I will not be here tomorrow. I'm going to be visiting my oldest son. Southern Command, Sergio, will be taking over. I'll be back with you on Monday. God bless and have a great weekend.